Hello, hello, and welcome to the Casa Delaware Live podcast. I'm Lauren Brogner, your Casa Training Director and podcast host. Today's podcast is episode number 64, being released on Friday, May 27th of 2022. Today's podcast topic is learning about the Bayard House, which is a house located in Wilmington, Delaware, specifically offering services to pregnant and parenting teens. So my guest is Mr. Aaron Prince of the Bayard House, who chats with us specifically about the services offered through Bayard House, what kind of rules and regulations exist, and what community partnerships they have set up to support pregnant and parenting teens. So Mr. Prince chats with us about some barriers that exist, as well as some positive resources that exist for youth and young adults in this situation and how they can benefit from some of the services. So I learned also that the Bayard House is part of Catholic Charities. So I will provide the link in the show notes if you want to learn a little bit more about the Bayard House. So without further ado, let's listen to our chat with Mr. Aaron Prince. All right, welcome to the podcast, Mr. Prince.
Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you so much for being here. Can you take a moment and just introduce yourself to our folks listening? Tell us a little bit about you, a little bit of your early childhood, early career, and kind of what you do today.
All right, so my name is Aaron Prince. I'm the program manager here at Bayard House. And it's a mothers and babies program for young adults, young teens. My professional prior endeavors to here, I had exposure of being a residential director of programming for a couple of locations in Philadelphia that served, basically under congregate care. So it was a mothers and babies placement, but also for some young people who were transitioning into adulthood, another transitional housing component that served young mothers and young teens, ages from 16 to 21, and a permanent housing component that has something to do with HUD. So I'm fully ingrained in the social service arena. Yeah. And prior to that, I was director of several substance use programs. I was an executive director for a medication assisted treatment program. I've done some community work with folks who are in transient population. I've been heavily involved into the social format.
Yeah, wow. And how long have you been at Bayard House?
So I've been here for about 6 to 7 months.
Gotcha. Okay. So how's the transition been kind of entering this particular social services arena?
So it's really unilateral, right? So once you're involved, once I've had experience in other areas of with similar populations, it's really not that much different in terms of providing services, mm-hmm. right? Trauma-informed stuff, being trauma-informed in terms of recognizing the young people's dilemmas, and being client person-centered. So the transition has been kind of seamless.
Good. Yeah, it seems like you've got lots of experience kind of working in social services anyway and offering support to folks who need it.
Sure, thank you.
Awesome, Mr. Prince. So the whole purpose of today's podcast is really to inform our listeners about the Bayard House and what services are available and, specifically to pregnant and parenting teens. So can you kind of, in a little more detail, tell us some specific services that are offered by the Bayard House?
Sure. So besides housing, right, we offer parenting classes for them. We offer attachment and several ancillary services. We components, workplace components, workforce components. We also offer kind of holistic, but we have some positions that are attached to us. So if they need prenatal stuff, if they need some things regarding active birth, right? Like some of those components, we also offer them what we have here on site is a diaper bank with also a formula. We also do a lot of social events with them regarding the holidays, like Mother's Day. We get a whole presentation with folks coming in, giving them gifts. But the detail, some of the detail parts about it is just allowing them to be first-time moms, or for some of them, continue moms, and allowing them a safe haven where they can grow and nurture a child and become more of an attachment to the child, as opposed to being in the community and having to work and being detached.
Gotcha. Silly question, but do the babies that, you know, once birth occurs, do the babies live with the moms?
They do. Now, we don't support co-sleeping. That means that, of course, overnight, they have their own cribs, they have their individual rooms. We have staff to check on them 24/7. But they do. And we support that for that mother-baby attachment.
Wonderful. And tell me a little bit more about educational services. So what if the mother has not graduated high school yet? What does high school education look like?
So we offer referral processes, and we are linked up with West End. We're also linked up with the state of Delaware and a couple of schools like Groves. Mm-hmm. So those components, our case manager reaches out to them, of course, after the assessment is done, to link them with the proper services that can assist them in those areas.
Okay, great. If the young mother does determine, you know, to continue going to school, is there child care provided?
So upon entry, we assist them with purchase of care.
Oh, okay.
And the purchase of care will allow them to get the child care component under wraps so they could, again, receive employment, receive even if it's vocational training. So the child care component is immediately addressed upon entry.
Gotcha. And you had mentioned a couple ages earlier. What particular ages does somebody have to have a particular age to be eligible for your services?
Sure. So the age limit is from 13 to 27.
27. Right, okay.
For housing. And then we also, beyond 27 and beyond, we also offer emergency housing. And that emergency housing is only for 2 weeks.
Okay.
So for someone who's in their 30s, but the requirement still has to be children 3 or under.
Okay. And then is there sort of partnerships with different community services for additional housing?
Well, we do. We are attached to the Delaware Housing Alliance, mm-hmm. and that's where we receive the majority of our referrals from. And we also link up with, I want to say there's another agency, right? So we have several agencies that we're attached to assist them hopefully upon successful discharge.
Gotcha. Okay. Can you kind of walk me through the process once somebody gets to you? First of all, I guess, are they referred to you, or how does somebody take advantage of your services?
Typically, they're referred to Delaware Housing Alliance through word of mouth, and then we suggest that they go through Housing Alliance for our program. So after they're referred, we do what they call a first contact sheet. Mm-hmm. So we take demographic information to determine if they're a good fit for us and if we're a good fit for them. Right. After all those things are done, they come in for an on-site interview with the case manager and myself for a second interview. Right. So it's a face-to-face.
Mm-hmm.
Following that, then we walk through the entire process. We ask them before they admit it, they have to get a COVID test and they have to get a PPD exam. Right. And all those things come back. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Tell me, describe that acronym for me. What did you say? PPD?
For tuberculosis.
TB.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
Yeah. That's all right. And after they do those things, those things come back, if they're a good fit, then we bring them in.
Okay. And so say you accept somebody, then what are the next steps?
Well, so then we ask them to get the purchase of care in play. Mm-hmm. We also ask them to link up with other services, like if they're interested in school, our case manager will walk them through all that. They're doing this a biopsychosocial assessment. And then they'll determine also, too, what some of the services that could be immediately applied, and then some of the things that may have to be deferred after they become accustomed to the environment.
Gotcha. Okay. Generally, how many clients live at Bayard House at any given time?
The maximum we could receive is 14 persons, and that's included with the children, right?
Okay.
So at any given time, I would say, like, right now, we're full capacity. So we have, like, 10 people.
Gotcha. Is it possible for a client to stay? You said continuing mom, so is it possible for them to stay with more than one child?
Yes, but they still would have to be under the age of 3 years old. So the maximum of 2 children, but under the age of 3.
Okay, gotcha. And then the
now,
case...
Now, the length of stay is from, 18 to 24 months. So they can literally stay here for almost 2 years until things become solidified.
Okay. Yeah, gotcha. So does the case manager, is there one case manager for all clients?
It is.
Okay.
It is. Mm-hmm.
And that case manager is mainly focused on referral services to other community services, ensuring that paperwork's complete, like for gross and all that. Okay.
So that case manager is attached to the administrative portion along with referral processes and all of those things to ensure not just a smooth transition to us, but to allow the discharge plan to be already congruent with whatever their needs are.
Gotcha. Okay. Makes sense. So, and then you said the housing services can last up to age 27. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And
yeah.
Are there any requirements for that?
Well, the housing services here is from 18 to 24 months. The maximum age you can receive someone is 27.
Gotcha. Okay. So during that period of time that you've got 18 to 24 months to find more secure permanent housing.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are there any continuing resources? Like once a client hopefully, positively exits, successfully exits the program, what other services are available or, do those services that they were receiving at Bayard House, do they continue?
So the housing component. So we have a basic need component attached to Catholic Charities overall. Mm-hmm. And the basic need component may match them up with rental assistance for a year or a housing clothing bank or food bank. So those services, aside from Bayard House, but under the Catholic Charities umbrella, to assist them too. So we refer them immediately to that upon discharge.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. So Bayard House falls under Catholic Charities.
Yes.
Gotcha. Very cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Catholic
Charities. Yeah.
Wonderful. Catholic Charities has so many different branches and organizations. I forget where they fall.
Yes. That's valid.
Very cool. So is there ever any peer contact? Like once a teen successfully discharges, do they ever come back and kind of provide guidance or support to future clients or current clients, I guess?
Some. We're working on having conversation based on an alumni association. So that component will be probably within the next 6 months. There are some peer-to-peer interactions. Some peers come in and give experiences to kind of guide folks through the pitfalls of discharge.
Gotcha. Okay. Have you experienced any barriers? I'll kind of break this question down. Are there any reasons why youth do not come to Bayard House? What barriers exist to prevent them from coming?
Structure. Okay. So if you have a young person that's already in the community and already self-sufficient, and even if they're living in a transient situation, like in their cars, couch surfing or couch jumping, the component of having structure and oversight, right?
Yeah.
A lot of young people struggle with that, especially seasonal, right? Like in the summertime, mm-hmm. You're like, listen, I could just, couch surf and I can sleep wherever I need to sleep. But in the wintertime, of course, it is more, our services are more needed. I'll say it like that.
Yeah, that makes sense. Gotcha. On the flip side, what are some of the reasons why Bayard House is so attractive to some clients?
Structure.
Perfect.
Yes, because a lot of residents come in, and it's almost like, and I'm not going to say it's equivalent to, but it's almost like it's less staff allows them, or less dedicated staff, right? Now, again, under the Delacure regulations, we are open facilities, so we won't hold anyone here. But the entire safe environment, not just physical, but emotionally safe environment, gives a lot of young people that latitude to be like, you know what, I think I want to be here. Mm-hmm. Now, and aside from that, individual rooms and our caring staff. Right? So those things, all of those, a listening ear allows that whole commitment to young people to say, you know, I think I want to come in.
Yeah, sure. In your experience, does the paperwork go easily when it comes to filling out purchase of care information or housing applications? Is there any barriers for paperwork?
It is a grueling process. Yeah. That's why as soon as they enter, you know, and it's time sensitive. So as soon as they enter, that's why we jump on it right away, right? Because we understand that there may be some pitfalls. They may not have all their identification. I mean, there are some things on both ends that may prohibit them from immediately jumping into the services that they need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could just imagine. Just there's a lot of paperwork and a lot of logistics.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, that's true.
So you said that you have some assistance with diapers. What about food for babies, whether it's formula or other supplies like clothing? Is there some support to find some supplies?
Well, so under the COVID, because the COVID epidemic kind of slowed that down,
yeah.
But we accept donations from folks as long as they're unopened, mm-hmm. unused, and our diaper bank generously accepts folks, like from one place is, I want to say, the Knights of Columbus may donate. I read something. Oh, it must be really windy or rainy. There are a couple other agencies and organizations locally that donate. We just had a diaper bank drive from a local school. So we get our fair amount of donations for food, diapers, even baby clothing.
Mm-hmm. Good.
The community is very helpful.
Yeah. So most of the folks listening to our podcast are child advocates. They're CASA volunteers. Uh-huh. So they might be advocating for a teen who is either expecting or, you know, newly parenting. What are some things that a CASA might benefit from knowing about your program and what other services might be available?
That it is structured. Mm-hmm. But in my opinion, it's not overly structured, right? And it is individually based. So we have what we call a welcome book with guidelines. However, you know, we try to take each case by case. The other thing is, I think, communication. Mm-hmm. Right? By this being such a small program, the avenues of mutual communication and updating folks, not just the CASA folks, but DFS, if they're involved with DFS, is fluid.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a very good thing in terms of the folks understanding or knowing what the residents that they have here, what they do on a daily basis. And if something go awry, how we can update them and let them know so they can be more actively involved.
Sure. And that makes sense because it is such a, you know, intimate, small program having one case manager. I guess I shouldn't assume. Is that the best person that the CASA volunteer should contact if a client is living in the home?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Perfect.
Yes. And of course, if they couldn't reach that person, then they would reach me. But our case manager is very good.
Good.
She does a very good job of getting back to folks, managing the young folks, not doing individual sessions, but being a listening ear.
Gotcha. That actually makes me think of another question. What about mental health services and any type of counseling? Is that a service that's provided or at least connected to for youth involved in the program?
Sure. So we have a connection with that with our behavioral health side, CAPA charities. Mm-hmm. So we refer them, you know, of course, if a situation presents, we refer them to our behavioral health side to receive individual services.
Gotcha. And you said, you know, it's not a lockdown facility by any means. So if a resident decides to leave the program, are they able to come back if they change their mind at a later date?
Depending on how they left. Right. Depending on how they left. And time sensitive, right? So if they just left out, and of course, if the beds fill up fast here, If we don't have any options, then unfortunately, I will give them with the Delaware Resource Guide and then allow them to kind of probe through that to see if they, you know, some services could apply. However, if they left under controversial circumstances, then we would have to weigh each individual situation separately.
Sure. Yeah, I imagine your beds fill up fast. So as soon as one person is gone and that bed's available, it might go right to the next person.
It's ridiculous.
Do you have a wait list or anything like that?
We do.
Okay.
We do. So again, you know, the advantage of that is some folks, again, because of the structure, they may process it and say, you know what, at this time, I'm not really willing to follow all of those rules.
Mm-hmm.
But some folks will be like, you know what, because I'm at this place in my life, I do want some structure. However, I do realize the advantages of being here.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah.
And that's the second interview when I had that conversation with him.
Okay. In your experience in that time that happens, if there is a second go around and second interview, do you feel that they are better able to appreciate the services that Bayard House offers?
Yes. Okay. Because again, you know, I mean, they're young adults, right?
Sure.
So they make mistakes. They, you know, their decision making may be a little bit skewed. But after they step out and say, you know what? At least I didn't have to do this. Or at least I had a place. At least I had my own room. At least I could eat when I wanted to eat. Like those things that folks who haven't experienced this level of care that we take for granted, they don't.
Sure.
They don't because they live it.
Yeah. And in the house, are there chores assigned? Do the residents have chores?
Yeah, we have a chore list. So we try to assist them with all of the amenities and all of the things that would occur if they were on their own, because this is a preparation stage.
Mm-hmm.
And we have those conversations like, Mr. Bush, why do I have to do chores? So what are you going to do when you live alone?
Yeah. Who's going to do, you got to learn to do your own laundry.
Sure. Like they cook. Like what, how are you? So we have meals ready. So you want to cook for us? Now you have to cook.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't cook. Well, so what are you going to do? Eat fast food? Like, so we help them, as best we can, like prepare, we help prepare them for the next stage.
Sure. Gotcha. Is there any education that comes along with child development in terms of what babies start to eat once they start eating solid foods, like things like that?
Sure. So we have volunteers, well, we have associations to come in, educate them on those things, and our case manager will too. Like child development, what to expect from ages 1 to 3,
mm-hmm.
right? Because they struggle. And I get it, first-time moms. When a child is crying, you know, what are some of the signs that you may look for to see if it is pain, if it's hunger pain? If, I mean, all of those things are educated on a consistent basis, on a regular basis.
That's so helpful. Gosh, you know, because babies do not come with a manual, though I wish they did.
Agreed.
Yeah, it's learning as you go, for sure.
Agreed.
Awesome, Mr. Prince. Just to kind of wrap this up, is there anything else you think that any CASA volunteer could benefit from knowing anything else?
So I think the main focus of this would be having a young person in an environment where they could feel the level of independence to grow,
mm-hmm.
right? Not to have them to feel like they have to, because I'm a big social learning theory person, right? To have to need peers to guide their decision making, but now you're a parent. So it is a transfer from being a young adult with no responsibilities to now being a parent with all responsibilities. So having them in this environment, so we can kind of slowly walk them through that maceration stage. So I think that's important.
That's super helpful. Awesome, Mr. Prince. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast, Focus on the Bayard House, which is a residency for pregnant and parenting teens. And it is part of Catholic Charities. So Catholic Charities is such a huge organization that provides so many services, social services. So this is a branch of the Catholic Charities organization that focuses on pregnant and parenting teens. Their website is very detailed, so I will provide a link in the show notes, but it's ccwilm.org/bayard-house. house. So feel free to take a look, check it out. If you have a youth that might benefit from these services, it's at least worth having a chat about. Maybe talk to your triad team about it and or your DFS worker. Maybe it's something that might benefit your client if this particular situation arises in your case. So if you are a CASA volunteer, go ahead and complete your in-service credit form and submit it back to me, lauren.bruckner@delaware.gov, for your half hour of CASA training credit. Thanks so much for listening.
And as the years go by, a friendship will never die. You're gonna see it's a destiny. You got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. You got a friend.